When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at all of the action at the Boxing Day Test. Australia against England. The Ashes. Doesn't get any better or worse. You're listening to Following On. So, if you are listening to the show, you no doubt know by now. It was so bad for England that some people out there thought this was the worst day of the series so far. Really? Were they not at the Gabba on day one? Did they not watch what happened at Adelaide on day, what was it, four? I can't even remember. I'm going to forget neither of those test matches ever happened. Going to forget this one never happened as well if it continues going as it did. Well, how did it go? Well, England were bowled out for under 200 for the 13th time this year. Hamid was a 50th Englishman, instance of an Englishman departing for a duck. Zach Crawley, no surprises really, hadn't played any cricket for 2.5 months, didn't score a century. He was out for 12, 13 for 2 at that stage. Darvin Milan and Joe Root put together the partnership of the match so far for England. Again, kind of been here before. Milan then departing, final ball of the session. Joe Root reached 50. Did he go and score a century? No, he was out for 50. Ben Stokes batted a long time for not many runs. And Jos Buttler, well, at least he won worst shot of the innings, holing out what was the last ball of the afternoon session for 3. Wood didn't stick around, possibly unlucky with an LBW, but does it really matter? Johnny Bairstow made the kind of score that doesn't really support any argument whatsoever about whether he should be in or out of the team. He was out for 35. Leach hit a 6. That was cool. 13. And Robinson did steer one ridiculous boundary between third slip and gully whilst moving about 2 metres towards leg stump before unfurling a beautiful leg glance. But apart from that, it was pretty poor. Lyon with 3 for 36 and Cummins with 3 for 36. I always find that interesting. And then when Australia came out to bat, well, sun came out. It had been raining earlier. Oh, I forgot to tell you that Joe Root lost the toss and had to bat. And Warner was, at least Warner was out, but not before he'd hit 38. Harris hurt his finger and Lyon was night watchman, or night watch, as I should say these days, I guess. 61 for 1. Australia at stumps on day one after England were bowled out for 185.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, should we talk about the first test between South Africa and India, which is getting underway as I speak? Because I kind of feel like we've been here before. Yes. I tell you what, there was on social media, there's a kind of, you know, I'm not really into groupthink. I find Twitter a little bit annoying like that. That's why I don't spend so much time on it. And I seek out the opinions of people who aren't on it just to kind of cut through the noise a little bit. But there was a feeling out there that this was the worst day of the series so far. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely up there. The downbeat in me is not because I've had a Christmas day, travelled down to London, been up all night, and it's now, you know, early hours. Well, it's late morning. That's as bad as it gets for me. I don't know where to start. A great toss for Pat Cummins to win. Bowled beautifully when he won the toss. Talk about winning the toss. You bowl first. You put your bowlers under pressure. I thought Mitchell Starc was there for the taking. He bowled three overs. He was all over the shop.
Yep.
He was there for the taking. But Pat Cummins was unbelievable. The three wickets he got before lunch. Milan, yeah. I think Milan had to play at that. The angle he was coming at, the way Cummins had bowled to him. He had to play at it, and he was, you know, he was nicked off by a half-decent ball. Hamid couldn't get off the crease. Crawley got squared up. I like Zach coming at the ball. He played some... played some positive shots.
Always
going to
be that way, though, wasn't it? You're asking a hell of a lot of a player. I mean, I was watching it. I was thinking, right, they're going to pitch it up. They're going to pitch it up. They're going to pitch it up. Then go, okay, we're going to stop pitching it up now. We're going to bowl back of a length. And, you know, it was no surprise what was going to happen. He hasn't played any cricket for 2.5 months. That was ridiculous. Anyway, carry on.
No, and you get to lunchtime and you're thinking, you know what, 66 for two.
Yeah, I thought that was all right.
Not a bad session. Root looked busy. He looked good. He came forward. He looked to get bat and ball, play the ball through mid-wicket. He didn't really look in a great deal of trouble.
No, totally. I totally agree. I thought Root looked absolutely on it. That's a massive cricket ground to defend. You know, you've got Boland playing, who essentially is behind Nasser, Richardson and Hazelwood in the pecking order. Starc, I did not think, looked anywhere near his best and was clutching his side after three overs. And really, if you're going to be facing Lyon, you want to be facing him in the first couple of sessions of a test match, surely. And then, you know, Cameron Green has, of course, impressed us all. But come on.
Matt, I said, come after lunch. And I'm like, yeah, Ben's soaked up some balls. He chewed up some pressure. And you have to see it as you see it. And I'm sorry, Joe Root, Ben Stokes, Joe Spotler. You have to have a look at yourselves for the way, and they will do. I've got no doubt they'll take responsibility, and they have to take responsibility, because them dismissals were avoidable. Them dismissals were indefensible. I think the way Joe chased a wide one, again, this is three times now, and all three times he's come out in an interview and said, yeah, I shouldn't have played at that one. And he will trot out again at the end of this test match and say, yes, I'm at fault because I shouldn't have played at that ball. I don't understand what Butler was trying to do last over before tee. Stokes had a plan. He just didn't execute it. He's gone out of his crease.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Butler, though? I mean, it looked awful. It was awful. If you take out the fact that tee was about to... I mean, I'll give you an example, right?
It's a tee break for me.
I thought, I'm not going to defend Butler. I think his time's come. And I haven't been a fan of his for a while. I think he's a great ODI player, limited T20, but his body language has been awful throughout. He just does not... He's never, ever, for me, he's never looked comfortable playing test cricket. And I think it's time to say, thanks, but you go and captain the ODI side when Morgan steps away. But just in his defence, I thought Milan was playing for lunch. But then I also felt that Butler could have played for tea. You can't have both ways. But that is a big old cricket ground. He's targeting deep mid-wicket. He should be able to get the ball there. There's one fielder out the leg side, pretty much, and he picks him out.
I thought it was a good bit of bowling as well by Lyon, but it's not. It's like Josh Butler's come down a wicket middle stump line against a bowler who doesn't, like Graham Swann, drifted it. Sort of, he doesn't have that drift away from off stump or sort of onto off stump and then turns in. Nathan Lyon bowls in the first innings of test matches.
Yeah.
More often than not, his line is middling leg.
Yeah, yeah.
So you come down the wicket, you know for a fact, if you come down that way, you're going to get cramped. And Josh Butler's looking to come down a wicket and hit him straight, mid on and mid off or up. You can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to hit him straight. Not looking to hit him mid wicket. He's trying to hit him straight. And he's just completely dragged it to the leg side. And he's got caught in the deep, the over before tee, where you think, you know what, just walk in at tee time. And if Nathan Lyon comes on first over or 8th over or 12th over, because he's going to have to, because Stark's not bowling that well, then belt him then, take him down then, bowl's a bit softer, it's not spinning as much, just take him down then. It's the scrambled brains where the side's at this moment. They've had a lot of pressure put on them. I thought Australia bowled nicely this morning. I really did, I thought Cummins bowled very, very well. I thought Boland's first spell, I thought he bowled nicely. He hit his good areas. In Green, I look at the Stokes dismissal. He had a plan. First ball, Pat Cummins bowling 143, 144 kilometres an hour. Stokes walks down the wicket and he's got a plan, defends him. And he's walked down the wicket to every bowler apart from Cameron Green. He's walked out his crease nearly every ball of his innings, to Mitchell Starc, to Pat Cummins and to Boland. But I can see what he was trying to do was Green. Because of Green's height, and he's a big unit, he's bigger than Mitchell Starc, he's a tall man, your inexperience, I think Stokes has gone, right, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to go deep in my crease. I'm going right in my crease. I'm going to go both feet in my crease. And if you bowl that back of a length, I'm just going to uppercut you. I'm going to try and throw the kitchen sink at you, and I'm going to clear the infield. And then I'm going to try and make you bowl full. And when you bowl full, you float it so I can bang you down the ground. Now, that's what's in Ben Stokes' mind. The problem is he hasn't played a great deal of cricket. He hasn't spent a massive amount of time at the match minutes in the middle, and his execution was poor. It was poor, and he got out, and it looked a hell of a lot. Well, it didn't look worse than it was. It just looked, he looked awful in that middle session.
It went to gully. I mean, if you do that and it goes to second or third slip, you're like, well, I didn't get enough on it. But it was an awful shot.
Yeah, it was cramped. He was cramped for room. But I go back to what I said before. We try and defend, decisions and try and defend players. These guys, them three, have played a lot of cricket, and they've got extra responsibility on that. Because again, how many times have I said, and what, this is the 10th day of Test match cricket? I did say it's not a marathon. It's not a marathon. It's a sprint. And if England lose a toss on something that does a bit in the 40-for-4 at lunch, the Ashes is over. Now, when Ben Stokes when Josh Butler walked off the field at tea time, I feared that's the time when I thought the Ashes is over. I don't see England, how they can get back into this test match. And I wouldn't chuck the blame solely at them three experienced guys, but they've got to take a lot of responsibility, because other than Pat Cummins' first 6 overs of the test match, Australia have asked questions, but they've not asked big, big questions. They've not asked ridiculous pressure questions where you think, right, wow, Christ, we've done well there. We're getting 20 runs in an hour because we've rolled it out, and we'll get it back and we'll cash in as they get into the second and third and fourth spell, and we'll really try and ram home the advantage later on. As soon as they put 4 or 5 good balls together, England try to blast their way out of it, and the three experienced players are going to have to take their share of criticism, put their tin hats on, because the buck lies with them. That was abject batting in that middle session.
Yeah, and it's brought even more sharply into focus when you consider what was said after that second test match, where, apportioning blame to the bowlers, Joe Root saying he was just answering a specific question about the bowlers. But essentially, what he asked of the batsman, he himself couldn't do. Now, that would have been noticed, wouldn't it, by the dressing room? And I know it's harsh, but he's still the top scorer. But you can't tell me that wouldn't have been noticed.
Yeah, it would. I would imagine the likes of Broad and Wokes, who have been left out, they'll have been sitting there. And
And Burns. And Pope. And
not so much Burns. I think that the Broad and Wokes one will be, they'll be sitting there and thinking, yeah. Excuse me. They'll be sitting thinking, you know what? We took some flack in that game. We're sitting with a high-vis bib on. And watching you just give it away. And he batted, to be fair to Joe, apart from that one ball, He batted beautifully, but at the end of the day, he's got out for the third time. He's got out for the third time in five innings, exactly the same way. So, look, I thought.
Can I just say one thing?
I was going to say one thing about what Joe said after the game. I was very critical. But I thought a little bit was blown out of proportion because I don't really think Joe really meant for it to get as much high headlines as it did. I think he was just looking at maybe one or two little passages where his bowlers had a little bit of advantage, but weren't brave enough to go for the kill like what Pat Cummins has done. And to be fair, he said as well, if he had followed up the question, well, what about the batsman? He would have been as severe and savage with his comments towards how the batting's gone. So I think a little bit was blown out by what he said. But at the end of the day, he said it. What he said, and there'll be some bowlers there, especially Broad and Wokes, who will be tapping on the captain on the shoulder at some point over the next sort of 7 days leading into that Sydney Test match. Just asking questions of what's going to happen next when it comes to the batsman's point of view, because again, that's 13 innings, I think it is.
Yeah.
15 test match.
It is.
We've been bowled out for less than 200. That's embarrassing.
Well,
that's embarrassing. And all different surfaces.
And I suppose Joe Root would point to the fact that two changes were made within the batting lineup as evidence that he wasn't happy with things. I mean, you are right. There's a couple of things, a lot that you bring up there. And by the way, if you're hearing me clapping, it's not because I'm applauding Harmy's excellent summary. Although, of course, that is part of it. It's because I'm trying to kill a mosquito that's buzzing around here. Listen, I was watching Root bat and I thought, you know, he looked so good. I thought he looked so good at the crease. I started because Michael Vaughan is on commentary out here and it made me think of 02, 03. And I was thinking about how, you know, Michael Vaughan was so far ahead of everybody else in 02, 03, something we've spoken about before. And I was just wondering how Joe Root compared to Michael Vaughan. And I looked at the stats and you know what? You know, there's two tests to go. We'll see what happens. But there is no comparison. Joe Root actually compares to Nasser Hussain in that series. Nasser Hussain hit 450s in 5 test matches and he hit a 47 as well. Michael Vaughan hit 3 centuries, including one that was 185. You know, it was 190-odd, 180-odd. The 3 massive centuries. As well as Joe Root has been performing in 2021, you know, and as much as he is carrying this side, he's still nowhere near what Michael Vaughan was doing in 2002-03. And his dismissal today is, and the reaction to it. And today, I don't know if you agree, he was as unhappy in the field and obviously when he got out, as I've seen him all series. You know, we've been talking and Adelaide, it looked to me that, well, between Adelaide and this test match, I went on TalkSport and I said, it just feels like the car wheels are about to fall off here. You know, this is going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to make the changes and someone's going to score. Right. I mean, I think England can beat Australia in a test match, you know, and maybe it could have been Melbourne if they'd won the toss, maybe, right? But the other way, which looked much more likely, is that the batting would once again collapse in a heap. And the danger is they see off Mark Wood tomorrow, who looked by far the most threatening bowler. You know, Smith, 180. Labuschagne, 220. Australia, and I don't expect this because actually there's more in the pitch that England should bowl Australia out. But with the sniping, you know, the Anderson article in the Telegraph, Joe Root's comments, whether they're taking out context or not, 4 changes for a third test in the series, the fact that they haven't got their teams right the first two, all the bad luck that's gone there, it's not quite going 2013-14. We're not going to see retirements halfway through, but well, actually, maybe we will, because we're going to be getting to a point where it's going to be like, well, what is the point now of playing this guy? We may as well give players some game time ahead of 4 years' time. And today it looked like the wheels are coming off. Oh, one other thing. Sorry, there's a bit of a stream of consciousness, but Joss Butler has been criticised for his lack of footwork right? Behind the stumps. And his lack of footwork with bat. It was ironic that it was his extraordinary amount of footwork that actually led to his dismissal today. It's just one thing. It's not one thing or the other. Even towards the end of play, Marcus Harris getting that blooded finger and England not getting an over at Nathan Lyon. It's just like this series is just ridiculous. And Butler and Milan both going last over before session as well. Because I agree. I thought 61 for two at lunch. You know, bit of pressure back on Australia here. They wanted to bowl first. But hey, here we are.
I know, and it is. It's crazy. And you mentioned about retirements and players playing and who goes what where. That's for further down the line. I think you might get at least one. I'm not going to say who it is or what it is, but at the end of this test match, if England lose, I think somebody could retire and go home. I really do. It's not one of the two bowlers. I don't believe it's one of them two. So I think there might be some rumblings in that one. Foreseeing what potentially could happen. The Michael Vaughan series, to compare Michael Vaughan and Joe Root on that series, I played in four of them five test matches. Michael Vaughan faced Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, Brett Lee bowled. Well, ask Alex Tudor. Yeah, poor Tudor. Ask Alex Tudor after what happened to him in Perth. Yeah, Andy Bickle was at his best for first two test matches. And then Brett got brought in later on. And Jason Gillespie was the Jason Gillespie of the one that was world's best.
Yeah.
So that context, you know, Mitchell Stark bowling fast, but no idea where it's going. Yeah.
Stark's 15 overs went for 54.
Yeah. You know? Lisa Richardson, there's only Cummins. There's only Cummins could get anywhere near that bowling attack that Michael Vaughan faced. And Michael Vaughan was in a losing side for, we managed to win in Sydney. We managed to get 4-1. I think that could still happen on this series. I still think England can win the test match. But Root's runs have largely come in Asia because he's the best player of spin. He hasn't scored a test match 100 in Australia. I hope he gets one in the second innings. And I do remember, if I go back to that series, Michael Vaughan got naught in Sydney after we had, a long couple of days in the field and at Melbourne, and he bounced back with 100 in the second inning. So, I hope Joe does that. I think Joe deserves to get somewhere close to Mohammad Yousef's record for what he's done individually for the England cricket team this summer, because the England cricket team this summer in 2021 is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We can't sugarcoat it anymore. You take David Milan out of that, runs out of 2021, and Joe Root scored more runs than everybody else collectively. That's frightening. So where we go from reset to get that position, I'm not so sure. I said the Silverwood, the combination of the management structure, it'd be short-sighted if we try and put the blame on them. But I'm actually, the more decisions that they're making, the more decision I'm thinking, maybe it's not short-sighted. We have, got probably a system problem, but we've also got a problem who's making decisions here, because we've picked teams now that are just mind-boggling. You've got to perform, but you at least give yourself a chance. And unfortunately, England haven't been to the races. That last 2 hours there told you and showed you. Warner come out. Yes, it's not a massive total. Come out with a game plan. Stay in leg side of it. Woody can bowl as fast as he wants. If he strays anything onto off stump, I'm going to use the pace, guide him through a sort of wide gully. We had five players in front of square. David Warner's not looking at Mark Wood anywhere near in front of square. And we've got five players in front of square, backward points in front of square. We've got mid on and mid off in front of square. We've got short leg. We've got square leg. Wanting Mark Wood to bowl straight, yes. But He's not. You don't need him to bowl straight. You just need him to run up, bowl fast, bowl aggressively into middle and off, and set a field. Two slips, two gullies, Third man catching instead of David Warner. Right. If you want to score runs, there's catchers in position, but I'm going to hit you, and I've hit you twice. Are you going to keep taking this for the team? See if you can get him to go across the stumps and chip one up in the air, give his wicket away. Little things like that are just mounting the pressure on the decision-making that England are making at this moment.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, you're on air in a few minutes' time. What's going to happen on day two at the MCG?
I'd love a bit of cloud cover. I'd love a little bit of rain. I'd love the ball to start moving around. But unfortunately, Nathan Lyon hangs around for more than between five and 10 overs. Australia get 250, 300. If Australia get 250, 300, they might win by batting once. Because this batting unit looks devoid of ideas when it comes to the pressure that Australia can put on them. Cummins puts a ball in the bright area again. Stark can't be as bad as what he was. And yeah, Lyon is going to get more and more turn that's going on. England have got to bowl Australia out for no more than 220 to stand any chance in this test match. In the way, and I love England, and I love England doing well. And I always want them to do well and win. But even the most optimistic of me, I just can't see that happening, unfortunately.
Sad times. Come on, England. Don't kill Harmy on Christmas Day, stroke Boxing Day, whatever day it is. I've lost track. Harmy, you go and do Weekend Sports Breakfast back on BT's coverage overnight. Get some sleep. We'll be back here on the following on podcast, looking back at the day when Australia got bowled out for 190 and England are 110 for one at stumps. You heard it here first, folks. You're listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.